नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय पितरि ब्रह्मसिते स्थानाद इन्द्राण्या दर्शनाद् विचाय प्रापिते जगरत्वं वाय यायाथिर् अभवन् नृपा Because Nahusha, the father of Yayati, molested Indra's wife, Sachi, who then complained to Agastya and other Brahmins, these saintly Brahmins cursed Nahusha to fall from the heavenly planets and be degraded to the status of a python. Consequently, Yayati became the king. King Yayati had four younger brothers whom he allowed to rule the four directions. Yayati himself married Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sarmishta, the daughter of Vrishaparva, and ruled the entire earth. Maharaj Parikshit said, Shukracharya was a very powerful Brahmin, and Maharaj Yayati was a Kshatriya. Therefore, I am curious to know how there occurred this Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and a Brahmin. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, marriages between Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas or Brahmins and Brahmins are the general custom. If marriages sometimes take place between different classes, these marriages are of two types, namely Anuloma and Pratiloma. Anuloma marriage between a Brahmin and the daughter of a Kshatriya is permissible, but Pratiloma marriage between a Kshatriya and the daughter of a Brahmin is not generally allowed. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was curious about how Shukracharya, a powerful Brahmin, could accept the principle of Pratiloma. Maharaj Parikshit was eager to know the cause for this uncommon marriage. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18. King Yayati regains his youth. Text 3-5. In this narration, Shukadeva Goswami is sharing with Parikshit Maharaj many great lessons are there. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Puranam, is the spotless Purana manifesting the highest level of unalloyed pure devotional service, which culminates in the beautiful pastimes of Krishna's life in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. In the ninth canto wherein we are reading, we are leading up to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam provides us perfect examples of how to live as a pure devotee, as well as the pitfalls, the dangers of what a devotee must be very aware of. And therefore, there are stories which illustrate people having serious difficulty, who are not illustrating pure unalloyed devotion. Prahlad was a Mahabhagavat in the womb of his mother and throughout every phase of his life. Sukadev Goswami, Ambarish, Dhruva Maharaj became a Mahabhagavat at the age of 5. But there are other stories which show us how the twists and the turns of destiny can implicate and complicate our lives. But the conclusion of all these stories is always to bring us to the highest lessons. Just like we read about Maharaj Bharat in the 5th canto. He was a very, very great devotee and king, but due to somehow or other becoming trapped by destiny, there was a great impediment in his spiritual life. He went to the Himalayas for the purpose of self-realization. Bharat Maharaj gave up his kingdom, his everything, only for that purpose. He had no ulterior motives. But the nature of the world is such. There was a lion chasing a deer, and the deer frantically jumped across the Gandaki River. And there, the lion roared, and the deer became so afraid she had a miscarriage, and the little baby came out of her and fell into the river. And the mother deer couldn't swim. She was on the other side. She died. She couldn't tolerate seeing her child in this state. And obviously, infant children, even humans, what to speak of deers, who are born just seconds before, they don't know swimming. So this deer was in this very fast-rushing current of a Himalayan river. And naturally, out of compassion, Bharat picked up the deer, saved its life. But then, he was the only person in the forest. Who's going to, now that he saved the deer, he couldn't just leave it to die. He had to take care of it. He had to be that helpless deer who was totally dependent on someone. He had to be the mother, the father, the everything. He didn't mean it that way. Somehow or other it happened. The nature of destiny in the world. And in the process of taking care of the deer, he became very attached to the deer. And gradually, his attachment was not just for the soul, not just for the body and mind, but it became a very material attachment. There's a very subtle and fine line of demarcation between material and spiritual. And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us the very subtleties which are crucial to know if we want to make true spiritual advancement. What is material philanthropy and welfare work, which is certainly in the mode of goodness? And what is transcendental devotional service, which is above the modes of nature? The Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us we have to come to the mode of goodness before we could transcend the modes. And many of the Vedic literatures are specifically meant to somehow or other get people to rise through the modes of ignorance and passion and bring them to mode of goodness. Specifically so that eventually they can transcend the modes of nature, which is the whole purpose of all the Vedas. Vedaish cha sarvar aham eva vedyo vedanta kudit veda vedeva chaham. Krishna says, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam. Abandon all these dharmas of the Vedas and just surrender to me. Krishna also tells in Gita that the Vedic literatures are filled with flowery words to improve the quality of one's life and material existence. Give them up. Be established in the self. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunya bhavarjuna. They mainly deal with the three modes of nature. So yes, it is crucial that we bring people to the mode of goodness. These four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating, are not spiritual in and of themselves. They help to bring us to the mode of goodness. And in that mode of goodness, when we chant the holy names of Krishna and render devotional service to Krishna, we transcend material existence. So it's important in our society to elevate people to the mode of goodness. But the fine, subtle line of Srimad Bhagavatam in this story of Bharat Maharaj is when you're transcending the modes of nature, it's a great fall down to come back to the mode of goodness. And forget the transcendental loving service between the eternal soul and Bhagavan or God. So somehow or other, by circumstances, he was just trying to be nice, that's all. He wasn't cruel, he wasn't evil, he wasn't selfish, he wasn't egoistic. He was just trying to be good and help someone who was in desperate need. But because he was not very, very careful, and he had no good association to warn him about what was happening, the story very much illustrates the need for association, even on very high levels of Krishna consciousness. So he became attached, and his next life he became a deer. He lost his human birth. But because of his devotion, neha vikramanat sosti pratyavayo nividyate, because of his very high level of devotion, Krishna gave him the opportunity to remember his past life. Can you imagine walking around the forest as a deer, knowing that you were a king, knowing that you were this far from pure love of God and ecstatic perfection of life, and now this is where you are? So the Bhagavatam teaches, even if you made a mistake, you could transform that mistake into something glorious. And Bharat Maharaj, he didn't do anything deers do. Normally, he associated with sadhus. Wherever there was Hari Katha going on in the forest, he would just be close by listening. He fixed his mind on Krishna. And in his next birth, he became Jad Bharat. And then as Jad Bharat, he took the role of an avaduta by his own purposes and was ridiculed, criticized, condemned. People tried to murder him because he looked so stupid. But he liked that because because it's very conducive to his Krishna consciousness. And in the end, he became the guru for the king. And that was his perfection. So in this story, we also find the subtle dangers of material existence, how different people in different situations, both Bharat Maharaj and Yayati were Kshatriyas, coming from very, very royal, divine families. Yayati was in a family that soon after Krishna was going to take birth in. So, I'm not going to speak too much of this story because other speakers will. But in brief, Shukracharya, very powerful Brahman, guru for the asuras. But we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, things are not always so black and white. Shukracharya speaks some of the greatest wisdom of the Bhagavatam. And at the same time, he does so many other things. But in any case, he's an extremely powerful Brahmin. And his daughter, Devayani, was good friends with Sarmishta, who was the daughter of a king. She was a princess. And they were having so much nice times together. They were roaming through some forest, and there were so many maidservants and other people there and friends, and they went into a lake, and there was lotus flowers and humming bees, and it was beautiful weather. It was just such a nice day to enjoy. And they were splashing each other and laughing and exchanging their hearts' affection for each other. And it was just perfect day for happiness on this material plane. But things could change our happiness in so many ways. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There are so many uncertainties. You know, there could have been an earthquake. Could have been a tsunami. Could have been a rakshasa that came out. Could have been a swarm of mosquitoes. So many things could happen at any moment. Well, in this case, there was just a simple mistake. After they came out of the water, Sarmishta, who was a princess, accidentally got her clothes mixed up with Devayani, who was a Brahmin, and she put on Devayani's clothes. Now, does that sound really bad to you? Well, for Devayani, this was unbearable. Somehow or other, Sarmishta didn't even mean it. She just accidentally put on her friend's clothes. And Devayani, how dare you, of a lower caste than me, to put on my clothes? It is, what are the examples she's using? Like the dog snatching the butter that's meant to be offered in the sacrifice to Vishnu. It's a pretty big insult. And she went on and on talking about, she just lost control. She became angry. That Brahmins are the heads of society and they are giving the truth, and you Kshatriyas are completely depending upon us, and you have taken the sacred property of Brahman for yourself. Very harsh. And Sharmishta is a Kshatriya. So she got really angry. And she said, "You Brahmins are just a bunch of beggars. You're like useless crows that just hang around our house waiting for us to throw you scraps." And then Sharmishta picked up Devayani and threw her like a scrap into a well. And here's Devayani just, she doesn't have any clothes on. And there's no clothes. She's just laying in this well, naked. And Sharmishta went home in a huff. And everybody went with her. So, our beloved King Yayati. His eldest brother, Yati, refused the kingdom because he didn't want to be implicated with all material stuff. He wanted to tread the path of self-realization. And then his father, because his father got implicated with another man's wife, he was cursed to become a snake. And all of a sudden, in his prime of his youth, Yayati is the king of the world, just trying to do good. And he's going through the forest, and he gets really thirsty. Destiny is so thorough. When destiny wants to test you, they're just so minute, thorough in the details of how it's going to get you, and you have to be so strong to be able to maintain your standards, your ideals. So he goes to the well, just like any other well. He goes to get water, and he sees this beautiful Brahmin young girl with no clothes on. And she sees him and she cries out, "Help me, save me, save me." So what is he supposed to do? Kind of like Bharat Maharaj with the deer. Is he going to just let her die? He's the king. He has to save his citizens. A king must give shelter to anyone who takes shelter. So first thing he did is he took off his outer cloth, his upper cloth, and threw it down to her to put on like clothes. So she wrapped herself up, and then he reached his hand down, and with his mighty Kshatriya strength, he pulled her up. And she said, "Because you have held my hand in this way." "Now I accept you to be my husband." She said that previously she had been cursed that she wasn't allowed to marry a Brahmin. So this is destiny. It's destiny. I'm bent to be married to you. I'm the daughter of Shukracharya. So the king, you know, "Let's go talk to your father, you know." And Shukracharya gave his blessings. But at the same time, you know, that they were married, Devayani told her father about what Sharmishta did to him. So Shukracharya was very angry, and he went to really chastise Sharmishta's father. And he came raging with anger, "How you have defied the integrity of my daughter." And when Sharmishta's father heard about this, he became really afraid. So he came out and fell at Shukracharya's feet and worshipped him very, very nicely. And then Shukracharya said, "Okay, I forgive you, but now that my daughter is Devayani is married to King Ayati, your daughter has to be her slave for the rest of her life. So he said, yes, yes, of course, it's gladly. She will be her maidservant. So things were going on nicely, and Devayani was pregnant with a child. Things were very happy. But King Ayati, destiny was working in its own mysterious ways on that king. He was trying to do good. And for the rest of the story, you're going to have to hear whoever gives class tomorrow. But Sharmishta is very powerful in her own right. And she took shelter of King Ayati, and he gave her shelter. And what to do? When Shukracharya found out about that, he was so angry that he cursed King Ayati to lose his youth, to be a decrepit old man. Now, here he is. One day, he's at the peak of his youth, and the next day, he's just totally an invalid old man. And he fell at the feet of Shukracharya and begged forgiveness and told him, just give me my youth back and I promise I'll do everything you say and I'll be so good. And Shukracharya said, I can't give you your youth back, but if you could find someone to trade your old age with their youth, then I'll allow that to happen. Now who's going to do that? He went to his eldest son, Yadu, and said, I want to enjoy my life. Please give me your youth, and I'll give you my old age. Because I'm your father, and Dharma is a son must follow the word of the father. Yadu refused. Said, I don't want to be old like this just because of you, your offenses. So he refused. And then Yadu was the son of Devayani. And then he went to others, his other children. They all refused. And then he went to his youngest son, Puru, who was the son of Sharmishta, and asked him, you take my old age, my invalidity, and I will take your youth. And Puru said, yes, it will be done. I must follow what my father wishes. Now, Puru is glorious because of that sacrifice for his father. The other sons are condemned because they didn't follow the father. But Yadu is the most glorious because he refused for a higher purpose. Yadu knew that he was destined to have Krishna in his family line. The Supreme Personality as Godhead was going to become in the Yadu dynasty. So for the purpose of loving devotional service to Krishna, to facilitate Krishna's appearance, he refused his father. Sarvadharman put it, Jaja. If we violate Dharma for our own material purposes, there will be a reaction, a karmic reaction. But if we violate Dharma for the highest Dharma of Krishna's will, then that is transcendental. So ultimately, everything just, Srimad Bhagavatam, so nice, because King Ayati was, after some time, he became so disgusted with himself. he was suffering so bad, he told his wife, I am like a he-goat and you are like a she-goat and we're just living like goats. Some other interesting developments happened in the destiny of King Yayati during this time. But ultimately, he gave his youth back to Puru, and Puru ruled the world and was a great saint, Rajarishi, and Yayati became a self-realized soul. Through it all, he learned his lessons. And at the same time, Shukadev Goswami, by telling these particular stories, is teaching us so many lessons. Destiny is such that things happen. And in order to be protected, we need really good association and we need to understand the subtleties of what can bring us up and what can bring us down. But in the end, where there is genuine sincerity, Krishna will use whatever may have been to bring us to his loving service. Srila Prabhupada explained, anybody who comes to this Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna is going to help them go back to Godhead. But if they're not very careful on the way back to Godhead, they may have to take some detours and suffer miserably in those detours. But eventually they're going to come back because they've one time cried out Krishna's name with sincerity. Speaking on the subject of crying out Krishna's name with sincerity and the twists of destiny, I'd like to discuss very briefly the subject of today's holy day that we are commemorating, the appearance day of Srivas Thakur, who is one of the members of the Panchatattva. Srivas Thakur is an incarnation of Narada Muni, who is a central figure in the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Puranas. Krishna puts him right at the right place at the right time. We read about Narada Muni telling his past life he was a maidservant's son. And all the different tests that he went through, by grace, he had the opportunity to serve some great, great saints in the forest, assisting his mother. He served them, he pleased them, he heard from them, and with permission, he got their permission, he ate their mahaprasad. And a taste for bhakti was so strong in his heart due to that association. Association so powerful. Raghunath Das Goswami was such a powerful person, but just in his very young childhood, he had the association of Thakur Haridas, and even though he was in such extravagant wealth, he was brought up just by those few minutes association in Chandpur with Haridas Thakur. Raghunath Das Goswami had this desire to renounce everything in the world like Haridas and just serve the Lord in pure devotional service, chant the holy names. So this was Narada Muni's feeling. And a little boy, the sages left, and his mother, how destiny works. She went out to milk a cow There's nothing more pious in the mode of goodness than going out to milk a cow with love and devotion. And while she was out there, she was struck by a poisonous snake and she died. How devotees respond to inevitable circumstances of destiny. Here he is. He's living in a forest. He's a tiny child. There's no other human beings around. His mother was his only shelter. She was a widow. He had no brothers or sisters. He took it as Krishna's mercy because he understood what those sages were talking about. That God has taken away my only material shelter so that I could fully take shelter of him. And he roamed through the forests looking for God. He went into cities just trying to understand, where's God? What is God? Why are people the way they are? What is the purpose of life? He roamed through cities and towns and villages and agricultural fields and forests and ultimately in the dense, thickest, darkest forests where even the sunlight cannot enter the ground, touch the ground in the noontime. Wild animals, snakes. He was roaming, praying, meditating, thinking of Krishna. And it was there that he had the glimpse of Krishna. And then Krishna disappeared. And that separation was so intense, he couldn't live without Krishna. And then Krishna spoke to him, through your whole life you are going to be yearning and longing to see me. And because of that, in your next life, you will be Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, he was there for Dhruva Maharaj, he was there for Prahlad Maharaj, he was there for... He was there to give good instruction to Kamsa. It's everywhere. And that Narada Muni appeared in Lord Chaitanya's Leela as Srivas. He appeared in Srihatta, which is today Bangladesh, called Sylhet. And he had four brothers. He had Sripati, Srinidhi, Sriram, and Nalina. And these brothers, they had very, very deep and great devotion to Krishna. They moved to Navadvip to be close to the river Ganga. And there, in their house, Srivas was always having kirtan with his brothers. And he became best friends with Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya lived in Shantipur, but he also had a home in Navadvip. And the two of them were so close. Srivas would go to Advaita's house to hear him speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Advaita would come to Srivas's house to do kirtan. And this was their relationship, just hearing and chanting and seeing the condition of the people in this age of Kali. Sri Advaitacharya was worshipping Shalagram Shila with tulsi leaves and Ganga water, praying to Krishna to appear to deliver all the people of this Kali Yuga. And Srivas, in the same spirit with his brothers, was performing kirtan practically day and night with the prayer for Krishna to appear. Srivas was also very, very close friends with Jagannath Mishra. And his good wife, Malini, was best friends with Sachi Devi. And Lord Gauranga was born due to the prayers of Advaita and the kirtans of Srivas. The Supreme Lord Krishna came bestow his love upon this world in the form of Lord Gauranga. And Lord Chaitanya, he had his reasons. Very, very, the deepest of all deep subjects. But in his early years, he got everyone to chant the holy names on the night of his birth. He got everyone to chant the holy names when he would cry. But then as he entered in his childhood, he became a great scholar. And totally concealed that love of Radha that was within his heart, and concealed his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was just the greatest scholar that ever lived on earth as a little boy. And he was very eager to challenge people and debate and defeat them. No one could defeat him. And this is the highest place of learning in all the world. And debate, scholarship, was the highest prestige a person could have. And he had it all. But the devotees, they don't take serious anything as being of any true value without humble devotion to Krishna. Devotees like Srivas, there was something mysterious because they loved Nimai just like they loved Krishna, but they didn't know he was Krishna, and they couldn't tolerate that he wasn't a devotee. They would come together and pray, Krishna, make Nimai a devotee. If he becomes a devotee, he will expand. Nobody could resist him. He will expand the Sankirtan movement like no one else. And Nimai purposely would have blocked the road of devotees when he would see them and challenge them to mundane debates. And the way he would challenge, because he was so clever, he would just intertwine his arguments in so many ways that you couldn't go away. You would just be trapped in argument. And you couldn't win. And it was on subjects that devotees just couldn't care less about. It was just a total waste of time, you know, grammatical, verbal roots and stuff like that. And when he would challenge Gadadhar would say, would think to himself, I have to run away. I just have to run away. But Nimai would say, what is the meaning of liberation? And he would say, liberation means, you know, to be freed from material existence. And Nimai would say, no, liberation means this, this, this. What do you say about that? And then they'd argue, and Gadadhar would just, let me go. And Mukunda, he would see Lord Chaitanya coming, and Lord Chaitanya would be with his students because he had so many people who were learning from him. And Mukunda saw him coming, and Mukunda ran the other way. And Nimai said to his students, why did Mukunda run away? They said, he must have something important he has to do. Nimai said, no, because he doesn't want to see me because I don't talk about Krishna. Then he cried out to Mukunda, someday I will become such a devotee of Krishna that you'll never want to give up my association. You'll never want to leave me. And everybody was thinking, what is he talking? But Srivas was almost the age of Lord Chaitanya's father. And when Lord Chaitanya would go up to Srivas, he would be very respectful because Srivas's devotion was so deep. He was so grave and so compassionate. If Lord Chaitanya tried to get into debate with Srivas in any way, Srivas wouldn't say a word. He would just laugh and walk away. Or else, sometimes he would say, Nimai, you are simply wasting your life. I'm not impressed at all. Whatever your knowledge, if it is devoid of devotion to Krishna, it's all just the maya and illusion of this temporary world. Worship Krishna. Do something with your life. And instead of debating with him, Nimai would take the dust from Srivasa's feet and put it on his head and said, "Thank you for blessing me. Someday, because of your blessing and the blessing and prayers of all the devotees, I will be a devotee of Krishna." Lord Chaitanya didn't deal in that way with anyone except Srivas. And after some time, the devotees were praying, "Krishna, please make Nimai a devotee." And Nimai went, he met Ishwarapuri, who was staying at Gopinathacharya's house, and ultimately went to Gaya. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show, if you want, he was playing the role of a devotee. When you sincerely surrender to a spiritual master in parampara and take that guru's grace and direction as your life and soul, then love for Krishna comes. So after taking initiation and giving his heart to his guru, Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya started manifesting the ecstasies of love of God that nobody has ever seen before. He came back to Navadvip. And when people saw him, Sriman Pandit and others, they couldn't believe what they saw. Nimai has become the greatest of all devotees. And every morning, the devotees would go to this one creeper where they would collect flowers for their puja. And Srivas was there, and Sriman Pandit and others were saying that, "You won't believe what I saw. Nimai Pandit has become a devotee. He cries in love for Krishna." And Srivas was so happy, he smiled. He said, "Now our family will expand." So many beautiful things happened. But one thing is, Srivas was having these kirtans at his house. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was still concealing his identity. Nobody knew he was Krishna. But the atheists, as well as the very proud so-called religionists, they could not tolerate that they were not allowed in the house of Srivas for the kirtans. And they couldn't tolerate that Srivas was becoming so loved by so many people for his devotion. So they were spreading the most nasty rumors against Srivas. He was practically constantly the object of all kinds of lies and false propaganda. They were saying that he was raping young girls in the middle of the night, intoxicating them with strong liquor, and then abusing them, and that's what they're doing, crying the names of God all night. It's blasphemy of God that they're doing it in such a state. At one point, the king, the Malecha king, was coming with soldiers on boats toward Navadvip. And these antagonistic people were crying out that the king is coming with soldiers because the chanting of the holy names of the Hindu gods is outlawed. And they're going to come to punish us all because of Srivas. Srivas is a coward. He's going to run away. And the soldiers are going to take us. They're going to beat us. They're going to plunder everything we have because of him. So what I say is, we should tie him up and we should beat him and we should give him to the king. And then we should knock down his house and throw it in the Ganges and plunder everything he has. This is the way they were talking. And devotees would hear this because it was spreading all over town.
They would just think Krishna will protect us. And Srivas was very compassionate. He understood Krishna will protect, but he was thinking, why should, if the king is coming with his soldiers, they could, you know, beat and persecute and kill the devotees. So he was very much worried about that. One day, Lord Chaitanya was walking along the river Ganges, and he happened to hear these people saying all these crazy things. They were even blaspheming him because of his association with Srivas. And he just walked by. And then on the bank of the river, he saw some cows, beautiful cows, with their calves. Some of them were laying down. Others were eating grass. Others were dancing, with their running, jumping, with their tails raised. And when he saw the cows, his identity of Krishna awakened in his heart, and he cried out, "I am he! I am he!" And he ran to the house of Srivas. Srivas was in his puja room, worshipping Narasingadev to protect all the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya knocked on the door very strong, and he said, "Srivas, he who you are worshipping has come. Open the door." And then the Lord knocked the door open. And Srivas looked at him, and Lord Chaitanya manifested his forearm form. He was sitting in the virasan, holding the conch shell, the chakra, the club, and the lotus flower. Beautiful bluish complexion. He was showing the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And Srivas fell to the ground crying. He was in the ecstasy of shock. Then the Lord said, "Srivas, offer me prayers." And Srivas offered beautiful prayers. He was reciting and giving his own realization purports to the prayers that Lord Brahma offered to Krishna. Because Brahma tried to test Krishna, but Brahma didn't recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Lord of his life. And then later, when Brahma understood who Krishna's real identity, he offered these prayers. And in a similar way, Srivas is offering Brahma's prayers. "I didn't recognize you. I was practically living with you, and now I know who you are." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Srivas, why are you afraid? The king is coming with his soldier on boats, but what can he do to you? I am the Supreme Lord. Unless I give him the order and the sanction to come here, how can he come? But due to my giving everyone their independence, if he does come, I'll get right on the boat, and I'll preach to him, and I'll show him my transcendental form. And then what will he do? But if he still decides to do it, then I'll say to the king, bring the elephants, the dogs, the horses, the birds of your kingdom, and then bring your qazis. These qazis who have, due to their influence, you have outlawed the sankirtan of the holy name, and you get them to chant. You get them to chant their prayers and make these animals weep in ecstasy. And they will not be able to do it. And then I will grab the elephants and the horses and the dogs by their tails, and I will bring them here. And I will chant the holy names of Krishna, and I will tell them, chant! And all the elephants and the dogs and the camels and everybody and all the birds, they will weep in ecstasy, roll in the ground, crying the holy names of Krishna. Krishna!
Srivas, if you want to see how I can do this, watch what I do.
The Lord then saw in the corner of the room a 4-year-old little girl named Narayani, who was Srivas's niece. She's a very simple little girl. Lord Chaitanya said to Narayani, Narayani, chant Krishna's name in ecstatic love and cry. And that little girl started going, Krishna, Krishna. Tears like rivers were pouring from her eyes. Her hairs were standing on end. Her limbs were trembling. She fell to the ground. She was rolling on the ground, uncontrollably crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And devotees, Srivas, he was very happy. And Srivas said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, my Lord, I'm not afraid of the king or anyone else. In fact, when you appear in this world as time personified to destroy the entire material creation, I will be fearless and happy chanting your holy name. Then the Lord said to Srivas, bring your relatives, your maidservants, your friends, everybody, bring them here. And Srivas brought. And Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in front of everyone. And Malini, the wife of Srivas, who was such a pure-hearted, loving devotee, her and her husband, they offered incense, they offered sweets, they offered arati. They anointed his feet with sandalwood and tulsi leaves and flowers. And Lord Chaitanya put his lotus feet on the heads of all of the maidservants, friends, and relatives of Srivas, and they all attained the ultimate perfection of seeing God face to face. He gave them all ecstatic love. And in this story, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, when one becomes dear to a great devotee, one gets the highest benedictions of the Lord. Simply because of their association with Srivas, they all attain perfection. This is the power of a devotee's love. One day, Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared for the first time in Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya sent Srivas and Haridas Thakur. He said, I had a dream. I had a dream where a chariot came in front of my house. And on that chariot, there was a very, very large man with a blue turban and blue robes. He had a plow and over his shoulder. And he carried a club. And he had one beautiful earring on his ear. And he looked intoxicated with ecstatic love of God. He had a flag on top of his chariot with a palm tree. And he was rocking back and forth again and again saying, is this the house of Nimai? Is this the house of Nimai? And I came out and I asked, who are you? And he said, I am your brother. Tomorrow we will get to know each other. He said, I believe this was Balaram himself who has come somewhere in Navadvip. Go and find him. So Srivas and Haridas, they searched for 9 hours through the houses, the bathing ghats, the shops, the markets. And they came back and said, we don't see anyone like this. And Lord Chaitanya smiled that Nityananda is very mysterious. He said, come with me. And they went right to the house of Nandanacharya, where Gaur Nitai had their first meeting. The Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, you should take care of Nityananda Prabhu and bring him to your house. And he did. And the next day, Lord Chaitanya told Srivas that we should perform the Vyas Puja celebration. And you should take care of all the formalities. So Srivas did that. And it was in his house that Lord Chaitanya manifested his Sat Puja, his six-arm form, for the first time to Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the presence of Srivas Thakur. And soon after that, Lord Chaitanya established for 1 year all-night kirtan every night in Srivas Angam, in the courtyard of Srivas's home. And so many things happened within our historical biographies of Lord Chaitanya in the house of Srivas. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that just as Krishna was born in the house of Devaki and Vasudev, but he performed his most intimate pastimes in the house of Nanda and Yashoda, in the same way, Lord Chaitanya was born in the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, but he performed his most intimate pastimes in the house of Malini and Srivas. It's the Rasasthali. It's non-different. The kirtans in the house of Srivas were non-different than Raslila. And we know the story of how people wanted to get in that house so bad, but Lord Chaitanya, because he was manifesting such high ecstasies, common people would not be able to understand or appreciate. So only the most pure-hearted, intimate associates were allowed in those all-night kirtans. And some people who were not allowed in, they were so proud, because Srivas was the one who had to say no, that they tried to destroy him. One was Gopal Chapala, who in the middle of the night put a black tantric puja paraphernalia in front of Srivas's house with wine and meat and blood and all kinds of other things, so that when people would get up in the morning, they would think that this is what Srivas does at night. And Srivas was the first person up, and he saw it. And he called people and said, "This is actually what I do at night." But nobody believed him. So they cleaned it all and washed it with cow dung. And Gopal Chapala ultimately got leprosy because of his offense. But Srivas was praying for him. And eventually when he came to his senses and sincerely came to Srivas, Srivas forgave him, embraced him. And Gopal Chapala not only was cured of his leprosy, but he became one of the most intimate devotees in the inner circle of Lord Chaitanya's associates. Another time that there was a brahmachari who was coming to Srivas every day and saying, "Srivas, just one time I want to see Lord Chaitanya dance. Let me in." Now, Srivas already had other experiences. One time there was a kirtan and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing ecstatically, and then he stopped the kirtan and said, "I'm not feeling love for God. Is someone here that's not supposed to be here?" Srivas searched and found hiding in the corner of a room behind some things was his mother-in-law. Srivas is a supremely cultured, respectable gentleman. So how do you deal with your mother-in-law? Well, he removed her from the house in a very special way. And then after she was gone, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy. So when this brahmachari came and said, let me in, Shiva said, I can't let you in. Lord Chaitanya selects who could come in, and you know, you're not one of them. He said, please, just one time. Now this brahmachari was very austere. He never ate anything except milk, sometimes some fruits and roots. But he was well known because he only drank milk. So Shiva said, you're pious, you're celibate, you only drink milk. And again, every day you're begging. I have to let you in, but I'm going to have to hide you. So this brahmachari was so happy. So Shivas, earlier in the day, he hid the brahmachari in a place where no one would ever find him. When Lord Chaitanya began his kirtan, all the devotees were chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy. Suddenly he stopped. Said, I am not feeling the ecstasy of Krishna. Is someone in this house that is not supposed to be here? And everyone was really afraid. And Srivas came forward. He said, there are no atheists in the house. There are no sense enjoyers in the house. But there is a brahmachari, but he's very pious and he's very, very humble, and he doesn't even eat food, he just drinks milk. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to get very angry. And he said, out, get him out of here. I will not have any milk drinker in this house. What right does he have to see my dancing? Where in the scripture does it say that performance of austerity is a qualification for seeing the Lord or for true bhakti? Only one who takes shelter of the Lord, even if a person who is the keeper of a cremation pit, even a person of the lowest standard of life, take shelter of me, that person can see me. But even the most powerful learned sannyasi who lives a life of severe austerity, unless they humbly take shelter, they cannot see me. What austerities did Gajendra do? He was an elephant. What austerities did Hanuman do? He was a monkey. What austerity does the gopis do? They were cowherd girls. But because they took shelter of the Lord with love, they attained the perfection of love of God and they saw the Lord face to face. Then the Lord raised both of his arms and pointed his fingers and said, get that milk drinker out of here before I destroy the creation. At that point, the brahmachari stood up. It was like out of nowhere, everybody was looking around. Who is this person? Then he just, from where he was hiding, he stood up. And he was walking out the door. He was really quite affected. He walked out the door, and as he was walking, all the devotees gazing upon him, he was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he's so kind, everything he was saying about me is true. I don't deserve to be here. I have no real devotion. He chastised me because of his love, because of his compassion. And I'm so grateful to have been severely chastised by the Lord. But still, I got to see his dancing for a few seconds. Because his heart was so grateful and positive about being humiliated and chastised in front of everyone, the Lord was pleased with him. Because the Lord is within our heart, and he sees our thoughts. So Lord Chaitanya, pleased that he was grateful to receive chastisement, he told the devotees, bring this brahmachari back. And the brahmachari came back, and Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet on the brahmachari's head and gave him ecstatic prema. And then he said, please do not think that through your mundane austerities you can achieve Krishna. It's only by taking shelter with a sincere and humble heart. This was another great soul who attained perfection because of his relationship with Srivas. There was also, by social category, a person who wasn't even in a caste. But Srivas liked him. And Srivas allowed him to wash the clothes for his family. And one time this person was walking down the street and Nimai happened to see him. And Nimai was thinking that this is the person who washes the clothes for Srivas, my devotee. And he revealed his divinity before this person, this washerman. And the washerman started weeping and leaping in ecstasy, crying out, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. In the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya performed his Satpraharya Lila, or Mahaprakash. For 21 continual hours, he was revealing his opulences as the Supreme Lord Krishna. Generally, Lord Chaitanya always assumed the role of a devotee. And if anyone identified him as God, he would hold his ears and say, never say that. The living entity can never become God. We are all eternal servants of God. The goal of life is to love God, not to be God. But for his most confidential associates, for those 21 hours, he continuously manifested various incarnations according to his devotees' desires. And it was at the beginning of that Mahaprakash Lila that they were performing a bathing ceremony for Lord Chaitanya, the Abhishek. And one maidservant of somebody who just worked in the house of Srivas named Duki, she was very, very humbly just bringing water from the Ganges in pots and lining them up very nicely so that the devotees would just have the water right there to bathe the Lord. She was way in the back. Nobody even noticed she was doing it. And the name Duki means miserable one. Now in Bengal in those days, if someone was in a very unfortunate state, sometimes the parents would name the child Duki. Sometimes if parents, all their children died either of miscarriages at birth, and finally one child lives, they name her Duki, or Duka, it's a boy, which means the miserable one. And the idea is destiny will feel sorry for a person with such a horrible name and leave them alone. It's bad enough that they're named Duki. Let's not cause her any more suffering. So her name is Duki, the miserable one. And she's just humbly, you know, arranging the pots and going and carrying water from the Ganges back to Srivas's house. And Lord Chaitanya, although Nityananda, Advaita, Haridas, Gadadhar,
And all these Buddhimanta, Murari Gupta, Shuklambar, Brahmachari, all these greats, the greatest of saints and avatars are all in the house. Lord Chaitanya was just looking at Dukhi, this little servant. And he asked Srivas, who is this? And Srivas said, her name is Dukhi. And Lord Chaitanya smiled and said, the name Dukhi does not sit nicely in my heart. Not for her. Today, I give her the name Sukhi, which means the happy one. And just by giving her that name, she became happy. Not just happy, she attained the highest perfection of yoga, Krishna Prem. She became, and at that point, Srivas didn't consider her a maidservant. He considered her a worshipable saint who had been bestowed ecstatic love of God by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again and again, through Srivas, Lord Chaitanya taught that one who loves the Lord, anyone who that person loves gets special blessings of the Lord. Anyone who appreciates a great soul becomes very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I have a meeting now, so I must end the class. And I'm going to Hyderabad today, so I'll be giving class from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'll escape. So we'll continue this narration perhaps at that time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.